Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. With that said, let's get on the show. What is going on, guys? My name is Hussein, and I'd like to discuss this thing. Optimistic versus pessimistic concurrency control. It's a very interesting thing, and the web is filled with confusing articles about this topic. So I'd like to go back to the basics, because this channel is all about the basics. It's all about the fundamentals. It's all about the base. All about that base. No trouble. So yeah, we're going to talk about the fundamentals of optimistic concurrency control. Notice that I didn't use the word locks here, okay? Because it's a catch 22, and it's really an oxymoron to use locks with optimistic controls. So let's talk about that and explain why I don't think it's a good idea. What it is first, why do we need it, and how about we jump into it? Let's define just for the English word, optimism versus pessimism, right? Or optimistic versus pessimism. You can skip this part if you don't want to, but I'd like to start there, because as a non-English speaker, it's very important for me to understand this word in order to actually know what's the next thing, because otherwise it's just a tech word that we don't link it with the real world. So the idea of pessimistic, let's take an example. Let's say it's a cloudy weather, which is beautiful. I love cloudy weather. But you want to go out to the park. However, you don't know if it's going to rain or not. So the pessimistic approach is to take an umbrella just in case. However, right, it's going to cost you, right? Because taking an umbrella with you is going to be a little bit of inconvenience. So you have to carry this stupid umbrella with you all the time, which is like, ugh, right? So that's the pessimistic look. It's like, so you're essentially pessimistic of the scenario. It's like, oh, it's gonna happen. So you take the worst case that is gonna happen. The optimistic approach is basically, so you know what, I have a feeling that it's not gonna rain, so I'm not gonna look like an idiot, and I'm not gonna take the umbrella with me. So, and as a result, worst case scenario, I'm gonna run to my car or buy an umbrella. So, and this is my philosophy in life, by the way. It's just like, anything. It's like, anything that just happened, I'll deal with it when it happens. I'm not going to take extra precautions or anything like that. Ugh. Just, yeah. Or, I mean, just throw in the umbrella in the car and get it over with. But this is the idea, guys. So let's move to databases when it comes to optimistic concurrency controls and pessimistic concurrency control. So this is specifically when you have a database that is centralized and you have two transactions or multiple transactions trying to access the same row, right? Reading is not really much of a problem. However, if one transaction is writing and the other transaction is reading, then how do you know what do you exactly you want here? Do you want this transaction to write first and then this transaction will read this change? Or do you want this transaction to read, to always read the consistent row, and then when no matter what this change is happening, I shouldn't see these changes, right? So this is referred to as isolation levels, where every transaction has almost like a scope, right, of things that it can see. It says like, okay, I started this transaction and this value is now one, and even if someone else changed that value while I am in the transaction and doing my own stuff, I didn't end the transaction, I should always see the value of one. Now you can argue with whether the other party, if the other transaction actually changed the value and committed, do you want to see committed value? Do you want to see dirty values? Do you not want to see anything at all? So that is the idea of concurrency control. So there are a lot of questions. What do you do, right? And as a result, take a simple example where two transactions are actually writing at the same time, right? Both of them, and we talked about this in the double booking problem. Check it out right here. So how do you prevent two people booking the same seat in a cinema? We actually built something similar like that, right? So check out the video where you actually prevent it. So what do you do, right? If two transactions read the seats and both of them at the same time said, oh, the seat is available, and the same, both of them at the same time wrote, okay, let's book the seat. So in this case, you will have double booking problem. And essentially, this applies to banking, applies to a lot of stuff. What do we do? Let's talk about the pessimistic control, concurrency control. It says, when a transaction is attempting to update, it needs to essentially, to achieve this pessimistic control, concurrency control, or PCC. I don't think it's called PCC. Yeah, it's called PCC. Then it acquires an exclusive lock. An exclusive lock, we talked about that. Check those stuff. It means, yo, people, I am now owning this. Nobody should read it. Nobody should update it. Nobody, don't touch this because I am in the middle of updating that. And when I say middle, this is maybe microseconds or milliseconds, very small amount of time. I'm talking about very small amount of time. But it's enough to cause a little bit of congestion. So acquire exclusive lock. So if that transaction came at the same time and tried to read that role, it's gonna be paused. That why? Because we're pessimistic, right? We're really don't trust anything. I'm taking my umbrella, babe. I'm taking it with me because I don't want to look like an idiot. So we'll take that stuff, and then the transaction will just go and do other stuff, maybe read other stuff, and then update. And then once that transaction goes out of the scope, what the heck does that mean? It means, meh, I'm done. Commit or meh, something happened. A primary constraint, bleh, go out of scope, and then roll back. That is when the lock is released, and this transaction is still waiting. And then once it sees that the lock is gone, poof, it will unlock and start reading. And guess what? When it start reading, in this case, the row or the value or the seat or the cinema or booking system or the balance or anything, it's gonna see the latest value. And this is what you want in this case, right? That's what we want. Because we want only one to update at the same time. So now you're getting always a serialized, a nice serialized view, right? So all these transactions came after each other. And then you're going to do all things. This is the pessimistic approach, which I love. I like to be, when it comes to databases, not much in real life. Right? So I like to take my cautions when it comes to databases. It's like, yeah, let's take a look. What's worse can happen? What's the bad thing about this? Well, you guessed it. These locks might not be much, right? In raw locks, especially, not with two transactions, but imagine hundreds of thousands of transactions, right? Trying to update the same row. Now I will question your data model and database design in this case. Like, why the hell so many transactions updating the same row, right? That's a database design question, which so you start yelling at the DBA here who designed the database in a way, an application, so that all these transactions acquiring the same row. I doubt that this should happen. But again, there's so many things. Optimistic control is not a solution for everything. You have to think, right? Why are we have 3 million transactions acquiring the same row? That shouldn't happen, right? So anyway, you have to be a little bit pragmatic when it comes to that. Programmer is best book. It's really good. Just way of thinking. All right, so that's the pessimistic. Yeah, obviously, if you have this scenario, it's going to go slow. You're going to get poses and the user experience will not be as great. So meet the optimistic concurrency control, where it says, let's not take the umbrella with us. Let's just let them run with each other. So let both of these guys take the same seat, right? Let them read. So let them read. Let's say this is the seat I want to book. Both of them read the same seat. It says, oh, it is available, right? So go ahead and read it. Okay. And the next thing is go and update that. And when it's update, right, it says, and this is going to update. At the end of the transaction, you are responsible to check, is the value that I just read changed? If it didn't change, then nobody actually changed something beneath me, right? So you're good. But if it did change, you are responsible to just trash the row or the transaction and start over. And that's what I don't like about optimistic control, right? If you have this restarting behavior, I'd rather pause and get the correct result. You see where I'm going with this, right? I always have a bias towards something, but you as an engineer, you get to decide and you get to kind of argue with it and then have a discussion. This is what's all about. Nothing. There's no right or wrong in software engineering, guys. We all make decisions, we all think, and it all depends. It all depends on what you're trying to do. Don't be afraid of voicing your opinion. Call everyone out. Call me out. I don't care. It's because we just learn. So yeah, so both of them will come then, and essentially if the value changed, we roll back. How does this is implemented? So many implementation for it. One implementation is essentially application level implementation, where the application itself says, okay, I'm going to read this now, right? And then I'm going to start doing my own thing. And before I want to update it, I'm going to read it again. Did the value change? So you need at least read committed isolation level to do that, right? Otherwise, you'll not see the outside world. So now, if that changed, right, then you're responsible to abort the transaction, right? That's the idea here, right? So you always check this before that. That's however very flawed, because there is this thing that is, I forgot what it's called, but essentially, I'm going to put it in the screen. Essentially, the moment you read, how do you, between the moment you read and you write, this little bit of a small millisecond, that transaction could have, another transaction could have come and updated your stuff. So you can't even trust this thing. So that's another problem with the optimistic control, concurrency control. So there's a lot of ways that you can do this at the database level, right? Where you will just leave the database to do the optimistic concurrency control for you. I know there is a lot of application ORMs and stuff like that does that for you. I don't know how personally they work, right? But to me, if it's at the application level, there is this the chance where let me actually Google that. Yeah, it is called time of check to time of use, TOCTOU, right? You're checking. Between the checking and between using, someone could have sneaked in and actually did that. That's why locks are great, right? With optimistic concurrency control, yeah, you don't have locks. That's the trick. Optimistic concurrency control should not have locks. That's why the idea of an optimistic lock is very confusing to me, right? It's just, wait a second, what locks are you talking about, right? But it's an application level lock. Think about it this way, right? So essentially, if that changed, right? Let's say you read the value and then before you start writing, updating the value, read it again, see if it changes. And if it changes, you don't trust it, you roll back with an error saying optimistic lock error. That's some Googling, from Googling, I noticed these errors coming up, optimistic lock error. Again, this is, I don't recall any database doing such thing, all databases don't have a concept of optimistic lock. They have optimistic concurrency control. Now, this is another thing I'm not sure about, right? You can do a serializable level at the Postgres where you essentially, when both transactions come in, you check the version at the beginning of the transaction and check the version of the row at the end of the transaction and fail when the version actually changes, right? This is actually, again, a very deep discussion topic. I possibly can discuss all of this stuff in 15 minutes, but I thought I'd make a vlog just to discuss this out loud and get your opinion with you guys that working with these kind of things. What do you guys think? I know some of you deal with these application level locks and dealing with database level event sourcing and stuff like that. Let me know, what do you guys think about this topic? Optimistic concurrency control versus pessimistic concurrency control. What do you prefer? Sometimes the optimistic concurrency control can win if you don't really crave consistency. So you can give up some consistency when it comes to this stuff. Yeah, so databases don't just magically take care of that stuff. You have to be responsible of acquiring the lock and doing all this, sometimes this low-level stuff. Let me guys know what you think. I'm going to see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye.